grab our Bibles and stand with me. Grab your word and stand with me. However you might have it, physical or electronic. But grab your Bibles and let's stand and go to the word of God. We're going to Job chapter number 1. We'll start at verse number 1. Job 1 and 1, and we're going to read 1 and 1, and then we're going to jump over to Job 42, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. We honor our bishop on this morning. Praise God, bishop. We love you. We love our bishop. We love our bishop. I thank God for the man of God. I don't know about you. I really love that man. The other day, I gave him a kiss. He didn't know it was coming. You got to just slip it in there. I slipped it in there, you know, before he can, You tell you, he always does that. I better duck, but I snuck it in, y'all. You got to snuck it in. Greet that brother with a holy kiss. Isn't that what the Bible says? That's in there. But we love our pastor, amen. I just praise God. When you look around, when you look at musicians that play so beautifully, God bless y'all. Amen. When you look to a choir that sings so well, God bless y'all. When you look at the sound room, media room, when you look at the chandeliers and the lights and the purple pews and all the things that we have, we would not have any of that if a man had not stepped out on faith. If a man had not stepped out on faith, not a one of us would be in this place on today, so we honor that on this morning. Job chapter number 1, verse number 1, it says this: there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Flip over to chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Verse 6 says this: wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Bow our heads and let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship you on today. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity on this morning, Lord God, to receive your word. Lord God, we know the vessel of clay is nothing, but we know that God, thou canst do everything. Speak a word, Lord God, to each and every one of us on this morning. Bless us, Lord God, so we can be ready for your soon coming. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Job is a very familiar book known the world over. You probably can't find a whole lot of people that have not heard of Job. Even the Bible itself references, you've heard of the patience of Job. So Job is a well-known book. The reason why Job is a well-known book is because the book of Job deals with something that we all deal with in this life. The book of Job wrestles with a question that we all wrestle with in this life. The question that the book of Job wrestles with, and what we're still trying to answer today, is why do the righteous suffer? Job is a book that seeks to find explanation in why do the righteous suffer. Anybody ever suffered and you knew you were doing right, but you were suffering anyway? The book of Job was written for you. It's the book of Job that, you know, we think about, you know, the righteous and their suffering, because I just read to you in Job 1, verse 1, is that he said, God said that Job was perfect, a man that feared God and eschewed. He stayed away from evil. Yep. But yet, if you know the book of Job, then you know what happened shortly thereafter. God, in his heavenly court, and one day Satan comes there, and then, you know, God says about Job, have you considered my servant Job? There is nobody like him in all the earth. I don't know about us, but I don't know that God can say that about me. I'd like to think that God, you know, could call me up as an example of holiness, but I haven't always been that. But what I love about this Christian walk is that just because I haven't always been that doesn't mean that I can't be that in the future. I'm so glad that yesterday ended last night, so today's a new day. Today that I can press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So listen, just because you haven't been doing something doesn't mean you can't start today. Y'all know I'm full of corny quotes, so here's one for you. Listen, the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. But the second best time is today. So you just start today, right? You know, we start today and we move forward. But God could hold up Job as an example of perfection in his day. Have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like Job in all of the earth. And Satan says, oh, yeah? Well, let's see about that. So the reason why Job is serving you is because you put a hedge of protection. No wonder. Right? You won't let no evil harm him. Anybody know about God putting a hedge of protection? I don't see her in here right now, but Sister Marcina just testified about that hedge. Anybody know about a hedge of protection around you? Anybody know that one of the benefits of serving God is that you get a hedge of protection all around you? God's angels, right? His ministering angels. God puts his angels to watch over you. That's real, right? So Satan says, yeah, of course Job is serving you. You've got him protected. Angels protected him like the Secret Service protects the president. Come on. And then you blessed all of his stuff. Anybody know about being blessed? Yeah. All right, listen, I've been there, y'all. You know, I ain't been on all the things the bishop said he'd been on, but I've been on a lot of those things. I've been on food stamps. All right. Amen. Anybody? I had my EBT card. I wasn't ashamed. All right. We had the government cheese, that big block. Y'all know about that, that big block of cheese growing up. Y'all know about that. See, y'all know about y'all so poor. You can't get the OR. You got po. We just po. We were just telling Ashley about how po we was. Ashley laughing at how po we was, but we was po. But we know that listen, again, when you start serving God, right? When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, we don't serve God because of what we get from God, but because we serve God, God gives to his people. Anybody struggling on today, I'm a living witness of how God will do exceeding abundant above all that you can ask or think. I'm a witness that God will give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So no wonder Job is serving you. No wonder Job is serving you. You done blessed his stuff. You got a hedge of protection all around him. Yeah, he's going to serve you. But I guarantee you this, you take away that hedge and touch his stuff, he'll curse you to your face. God says, okay, go ahead. I'll let you do it. And y'all know the story, right? He does it. And Job said, listen, naked. Oh, how he said, I naked I came out. And naked I'm going. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Anybody know? Y'all remember that old, was that Hezekiah Walker, that blessed be the name of the Lord? Remember he was rocking that back in the late 90s, early 2000s? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So can you praise God in spite of? Right? Can I praise God when I'm on the mountaintop or when I'm in the valley low? You know, we talk about it all the time. You know, Job did not allow his feelings to be the barometer of how he praised God. You're not always going to feel like praising God, but we're going to praise God anyway, right? And we know the story, right? So there's Job. You took away all my stuff. Even more than that, all of his children have died. And Job has just, he went into bankruptcy. I mean, it's just this story. But yet this man has a praise for God. I will yet praise him. I will yet. Anybody got a yet praise? I don't care. I got a yet praise and a yes, I'll praise you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you anyhow. It don't matter. So y'all know chapter number 2. Then, you know, saying then God said, see, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that my servant Job, I'm paraphrasing, by the way, go back and read it for yourself. But didn't I tell you, my servant Job, that he would withstand the pressure. He wouldn't curse me. He stood up like a champ now. Right? I want God to use me as an example now. Right? Somebody be careful. No, that's what we're living for, y'all. Lord, you know, there's that song that says, Lord, I want to live so God can use me. Come on now. But listen, we always afraid of like, no, Lord, that's what we're here for. We're here for God to use us. I have not been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So, Lord, I want you to use me. So here it is. Chapter number 2. Yeah, I got you, right? So he took all this stuff away. I guarantee you touch his health. And he'll curse you to his face. And then Satan goes and the boils come. And there he is in agony that we cannot imagine. The man is suffering. Anybody know about suffering in your body, right? Anybody had suffering in your body? Not just a headache, something that a Tylenol couldn't fix. Come on now. Something that a Zyrtec could not clear up. Come on now. Come on. Anybody had to rush to the emergency room because you didn't know what was going on in your body. Come on now. But what I love about the saints is that even when you rush me to the emergency room, I in the name of Jesus. Ha-ta-ye. Anybody know about, anybody know I did pain, pain racking in my eyes in the name of Jesus. That's your declaration of praise.
Hallelujah.
Is it in you? What's in you going to come out of you? Ain't that right, Elder Kimball? What's in you is going to come out of you.
Not that right. Oh, yes.
So you know what? When you squeeze Job, you know, we know what came out? Praise came out. Something's wrong when you get squeezed. If you're supposed to be an orange and lemon juice comes out. Something's wrong. Something wrong. Put the squeeze on you. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Put the squeeze on. You're supposed to be sweet and you sour. Something ain't right. But this brother, you know, passed the test. Oh, that's it, y'all. Close your Bible. Let's go home, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me finish up. Job, double for his trouble. All right, boom, we're done, right? That's it, right? That's it. The book of Job is complete, right? We got chapters 1 and 2. We got somebody started smiling. Somebody closed it. Who closed their Bible? I said, no, I'm just playing, right? Because there's more than 3 chapters of Job, all right? Just in case y'all didn't know. We didn't. I know I went from 1 to 42, y'all, but in between, you know, 1 and 2, we read those first 2 chapters. There's another 39 chapters right in there. And I, in my opinion, I think Job is, if not my favorite book of the Bible, it is one of my favorite books. I love the book of Job. I'll be honest with you, I had never read the book of Job, not in a meaningful way, until we went through it in Sunday school. All right, shout out for Sister Michelle, all right, you know, Sunday school, right? Well, we went through it in Sunday school, and we discovered the beauty in the book of Job. And I invite and encourage everybody to discover all of that beauty. So we'll just do a little survey of the book of Job on this morning, because there's more to Job than meets the eye. Sometimes, you know, we want to start at the beginning and then we want to skip to the end. And all of us want to skip from here to there to the good part. But y'all, there's the in-between part, that journey. That journey. Don't miss the journey along the way, because in that journey, you know what? The journey is the destination. This is how we get to know God, in the journey. So journey through Job with me on this morning. Is that all right? So we know that Job chapters 1 and 2, we know that Job has been put under this tremendous amount of affliction. We know that, you know, he did not curse God like his wife told him to. His wife told him, curse God and die. He told his wife, you talking like one of the foolish women. When folks start talking crazy, forget folk. When your flesh start talking crazy and the devil starts whispering in your ear all this crazy stuff, y'all better listen. You talking foolish. I like that. You better talk back. You better learn how to talk back to that enemy. You ain't just going to come in here and just whisper that mess in my ear. I know who God is. So Job withstood, but thank God for friends, right? So Job had some friends. The Bible calls them his friends, right? The Bible says that, you know, where did I get these wounds? I got them in the house of friends. And sometimes you got those well-meaning friends. And Job had well-meaning friends. They were sincere, but a lot of what they did was sincerely wrong. Oh, I didn't give you the topic, did I? Thank you, Holy Ghost. All right, so let's just got a thought for this morning. How about this? I was wrong. How about that? How about that one? I was wrong. Now, I didn't say you were wrong. Come on. I didn't say Elder Burt was wrong or Clarence was wrong. Right? I didn't say Sister Marcita or Rodney was wrong. I said, did y'all catch it? I was wrong. All right? So you know, somebody said, let me pack it up and go. No, listen, I was wrong. But we're going to talk about how we're going to get it right on this morning. I was wrong. Job's three friends, they come, right? They come, and they're well-meaning, and I love it because his friends, they sat there for 7 days, didn't say a word because they saw the mourning and the grief that he was going through. But then they opened their mouth to encourage Job, and there we launch, right? Chapter number 3 through, 38 is where we're really launching into that conversation. It goes back and forth between Job and his friends, and it's a cycle of three speeches, really, between Job and his friends. So one of his friends, you got Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Those are their names, and one of them would say something, and then Job would counter their argument. The basic premise of their argument is that, listen, Job, you had to do something wrong, yeah. Right? Because the righteous don't. If you're living right, how did such wrong happen to you? Right? If you're living right, how did such wrong and bad things happen to you if you're living right? You had to have done something wrong. And while that might have been true for me, it was not true for Job. They were wrong. It's not the title of the subject on this morning. It's not they were wrong. It was I was wrong. We're going to discover in the midst of this. So they're going back and forth, and really their reasoning, and some of the most intelligent. They say that Job is one of the books, the first books of the Bible that was written, and where it dates and falls in chronology and scripture. You know, that's a debate for another day. But I will tell you, even from the beginning, these men had some well-reasoned arguments. They had a lot of thought that they put in. All right. But even though you're thinking about it some ways and some things, it doesn't make you right. As we go through Job, let's bring up Job 3 and 17. And I'm just going to go through a few of these scriptures because, you know, as Job is going through, and these are some things that you get to discover along the way. Have you ever went through something and you found that things became more clear than when you weren't going through? Right? I've gone through some things. Remember, Job said, I've heard it with my ears, but now I've seen it with my eyes. Right? Y'all heard it? Seeing is believing. I know we walk by faith and not by the sight, but there are some things you experience. That's the only way you can know it. So Job comes to revelation, and some of these y'all heard about, right? Y'all know this one, right? Job says this there, right there, because Job had gotten to the point where he had cursed the day of his birth. I wish I had never been born. His suffering was so intense that he wanted to get out of here. I wish I would have never been born then to deal with this. He said, but there's there's somewhere that I want to get to. He said, there's a place where I want to go. He said, because there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Y'all know where Job is talking about. He ain't talking about this place. Listen, I came to tell somebody, this is not your home. Listen, if you have repented and been baptized and been filled with the Holy Ghost and you're living a holy life, this is not your home. You're looking for this. Aren't you sick of every time you turn on the television and flip on the news or Marcita walk out the door to take out your trash? But you're going to a place where the wicked shall cease from trouble. Ain't always going to have this trouble. And there the weary are going to be. Anybody ever get tired sometime? I get tired of the problems I got to deal with. Get tired of the problems in my neighborhood. Problems in my home. Problems on the job. Problems in my finance. Problems in my health. I get tired. But there's coming a day. See, Job is getting clarity. It's the journey, it's the destination. And so he's going through, and they're going back and forth. Zophar, Eliphaz, Bildad, everybody's got something to say, right? Chapter number 13 and verse number 15. Let's jump to there. 13 and 15. I love it because as Job is struggling and he's trying to figure it out, but there are just some things that Job decided. Listen, when you're in the middle of your test, you're going to have to make some decisions. When you're going through you just going to have to make it up in your mind. That's true, bro. And you're going to have to fix it in your heart. You're going to have to be like Sister Esther who said, if I perish. See, y'all don't know that one. If I perish, come on, help me out this morning. If I perish, I perish. I don't care what the consequences might look like. If I perish, I perish. Job got to that point. He said, listen, I'm going through, but though he slay me. I don't care. Listen, I'm going through, but though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Anybody learn how to do that yet? Anybody felt like though he slay me, Lord, I'm getting it from you. You putting it on me. I feel like I don't deserve what I'm getting, but though he slay me, yet will I testify. Yet will I sing. yet will I give. Yet will I serve. Though he slay me, I don't care what I'm going through. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you know what? Trust predicates action. I'm going to keep on going. I don't care what I got to go through. Job is getting revelation through his test. Let's go 14 and 14. Just a survey of Job, the beauty of Job. Y'all know a lot of these, right? Job, he begins to ponder. In your test, right, as you get away from the purple pew, as Elder Chambers likes to say, as you get away from the purple pew and you get into the midst of your problem, right, you get out there, you can begin to ponder. And Job began to ponder. Now remember, Job is written pre-law. Y'all right? Y'all know your Bible, right? You know how the Bible's set up, right? You have the law of Moses. Well, this is way before any type of law of Moses. We know, of course, this is way before the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Job is sitting and he's asking this question. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time, will I wait till my change comes? See, because there are things that you're going to go through, it's going to cause you to begin to question, right? It's going to cause you to really think, do I really believe what I believe, right? I mean, I'm telling you what I know, right? It's going to cause you to question, if you're not careful, the goodness of God, right? When you're going through, when you're going through childlessness, when you got this season of barrenness, right? Right? You're going to go through this time and you feel like, but Lord, I'm pondering, I'm asking myself all these questions. You might not ever say it out loud, but guess what? God knows your thoughts. It might not have ever came out your mouth, but God knows what you're thinking. The Bible says he knows our thoughts afar off. So Job begins to question, what's going to happen when I get out of here? If a man dies, shall he live again? I don't really know the answer to that question, Job is saying, but all I know is all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait till what? Tell somebody my change is coming. Y'all believe? Tell somebody my change is coming. Listen, honey, you might think that means you talking about on a job or this or that or some tangible thing, but I'm talking about a greater change than that. I'm talking about when mortal puts on immortality and we are changed in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. I'm going to wait till my change comes. If I don't get my change on this side. But what I love is, there's no question you have in your mind that God doesn't have the answer to. Go to John 11, 25. Job asked this. I told y'all, Job is one of the books that were first written. And Job is asking this question thousands and thousands of years. But in John 11, give me John 11 and 25. John 11 and 25. But I love how Jesus heard that question that Job asked thousands of years ago. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you the answer, Job. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. If a man dies, shall he live again? Jesus said, though he were dead. Y'all listen, yet shall he live. I was out at Crown Hill yesterday. There's coming a day. Everybody, he said, all that are in the grave are going to hear my voice. Job asked that question thousands of years ago. Jesus stepped into our world. Listen, though you were dead, we got a greater hope than this, y'all. We got a greater hope than this. Don't get caught up in everything that's going on in this world. Be like what John the Revelator said, even so come, Lord Jesus. That should just get us more focused. Lord, we're getting ready to get out of here. Don't get caught up in these stupid debates about this, that, and the other. Right? Listen, unlearned questions avoid. They do gender strife. But start talking about the word of God and the goodness of God and how you can get out of here and see Jesus' face in peace. Come on, give him a praise on that one. That was just extra. That was just good to me. That was just good to me. If a man die, whoa. I'm living. What John P. Key say? I'm living this life just to live again. Come on, I'm gonna live again. This ain't it. But Job is questioning. And sometimes that's how it happens, right? You know, you get encouragement along the way in your journey, but it doesn't take you out of your test. Anybody ever had that, right? You come to a Sunday morning sermon, and the preacher gets up and preach. And by the way, Elder Demery, your pericope was on point. You know, your pericope. I had to literally ask him when he used that word last week. I texted him the next day, can you spell that for me? And had to look it up. Had to have Google pronounce it for me. I practiced all week, but your pericope was on point. All right, there you go. All right, there you go. But you come in here and you get encouraged. And Elder Chambers will have you in the middle of the aisle. He's going to give that analogy of fight through the crowd. And y'all ever been there, right? We come. The problem is what? We got to leave. Right? We got to go out those doors. And as encouraged, anybody ever been there but me? I mean, I have gone out on cloud nine. I mean, I have gone out. I like David, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. But it doesn't take away my problems. It doesn't take away my issues and the things that I got to deal with. So look at Job 16 and 21. So after that great revelation, and we were just excited, I was ready to shout. But this is what Job is saying. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. I just want somebody to plead for God. Y'all pleading? Remember, y'all just throw this in here. Are you pleading to God for somebody else? Are you? I mean, think about this. I'm guilty that I haven't always done a good job of pleading for God. You know who I'm usually pleading God for? Right? Me, myself, and I. Right? But remember, y'all, it ain't about us, right? We need to learn how to do that because this brother's suffering. He's going through. You're going to go through. And you listen, when you're going through, you want to want somebody. When you don't have the, anybody know about it? I don't have the strength to pray. Anybody been there? So y'all spiritual. I know y'all holy. That's good. Stay spiritual and holy. But I've had times I didn't have the strength to pray. Open your mouth, don't nothing come out. The Bible says groanings, right? Which cannot be. I mean, there are just times where. But aren't you so glad that somebody prayed for me? Somebody had me on their mind. They took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad. Job is going through somebody. He's asking. I'm still struggling. Keep praying for people. Don't take that.
That's true.
So as he moves through, and we'll get to Job 23. Yeah. Job 23. Remember, we're on the journey, y'all. We're on the journey. It's more to Job than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. And where we're going to is I was wrong. But how did we get from perfection in chapter 1? To repentance in chapter 42, what happened along the way, right? This man that doesn't charge God foolishly, doesn't sin with his lips. And I always think about it like this. If that happened to Brother Job, oh my gosh. The disciples ask, who then can be saved? I mean, if I feel like if y'all can't do it, then who can? So let's figure this out. I'm going to read a little bit. Sometimes you can't just read a verse. You got to read a section to get the meaning. I'm going to read chapter 23, verses 1 through 10. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I know where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he isn't there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Anybody been there? Job said, listen, I'm going to pour out my bitter complaints. You know, you've been taught, right, and very well so, and we should understand, be careful about how you put your mouth, how you form your mouth to say something against God. Be careful, right? Numbers 11:1, and the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and they got burnt up, right? So, oh, you don't complain. Right, we even got to say, I won't complain, right? I won't complain. But listen, you got to make sure you understand the context. Because then a few books later, here's a woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah's there, and you know she's before the Lord. And you know what the Bible says? She poured out her complaint to the Lord. It's a difference about complaining against the Lord, and there's a difference of complaining to the Lord. Lord, you see what I'm going through. You know my struggle. You know the issue. You know that person. You know that person. I'm pouring out my complaint to God. Job is pouring out this bitter complaint, and he's pouring it out to God. Because, you know, at the end of the day, who's the only one that can take care of your complaint? My mama can't do it. My daddy can't do it. My auntie cannot do it. My uncle cannot do it. My brother can't do it. My sister can't do it. My niece can't do it. My nephew can't do it. My wife can't do it. Only God. I pour out my complaint to God. God said, here it is. I'm not my complaint department, but I'm doing it because you, God, are the only one who can fix what I'm going through. But Job feels this aloneness. Did y'all catch that aloneness? Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. You ever felt like that? You ever felt that way? I literally cannot see right now. This could go bad in so many ways. This could go bad in so many ways, but I can't see. And I know I hear a voice. Oh, oh, to ye yata. But I can't see. Oh, I go backwards. Oh! But I can't perceive you, God. Where are you? Where are you, God? Where are you? You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're God Almighty. You're God all by yourself. You split the Red Sea. You do all of, I, the Lord, do all of those things. But Lord, in my situation, where you at? But I love Job, but he holds on to his faith. But he knoweth the way that I take. I might not know. Whoa! I might not know. I don't have to know. You know what? As long as he knows. Come on! I don't have to know. As long as he knows. See, we sing that part of the song that says, he knows what's best for me. More than these weary eyes can ever see. Listen, I don't have to know it. The longer you walk with God, the more you begin to realize, God, I don't have to know. Your understanding is infinite. Your ways are past finding out. If you told it to me, I would not understand. He knows the way that I take. God's going to get me to exactly where I'm supposed to be. But Lord, but when I get there, this is what you want. But when he have tried me, anybody in the fire, right? If you're not in the fire, something wrong, right? Because the fire is where the purifying takes place. The fiery testing trials. If you're not in the fire, something wrong. Listen to what I'm telling you. Something you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because I'm telling you, if you're not in the fire, if you're not going through nothing, you know what devil sees you as? No threat. Right? Come on now. Listen, when I'm going through the fire and when I'm going through, but when I come out on the other side, I'm coming out as pure gold. Listen. So listen, the three friends have gone back and forth, right? I told you the book is a cycle, three cycles of speeches between Job and his friends. It's been this back and forth, and they're trying to figure it out amongst themselves. And then there's another young brother, his name is Elihu, you know, and Elihu had been listening to all this, and Elihu's frustrated with all of them. He said, listen, he said, Job, you're starting to justify yourself. He told Job, he said in so many words, he said, Job, you're getting too big for your britches. Job, now you did not, you know, sin with your lips, but you got dangerously close to the line. See, oh, I didn't say it. Y'all know we call them such likes. You know, saints, we don't cuss, but we got such likes. Y'all know y'all such likes. See, somebody said, oh, yeah, we don't do certain things, but we got such likes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's just certain things like we couldn't see because, you know, you might not be cussing. You know what you're saying. You done substituted a word, but you mean the same thing. So Job, this is what Job was doing, right? Job could say, I never sinned with my lip, but I didn't got right at the, right. If this is the line, I got right over the line. You need to check yourself, Job, and we need people to tell us that. I hope we are all people that can take reproof.
That's right.
As you know, because it's hard, right? What's the message? I was wrong. But you know, those are words we don't say, you know, in our Western culture, right? You know what we say? It's your thing. Do what you want to do, right? Come on, man. I mean, am I telling the truth, y'all? Isn't that the world? Nobody's wrong today. Whatever your mind can conceive, if you think it's right, then what? Then it's right. It's relativism, right? You know, whatever I want, I'm just going to make it right. But I was wrong. And this is what Job is finding out. And Elihu, young man that he was bold enough to speak truth to power. He tells him, Job, you didn't got too close to the line. He got with the friends. Listen, y'all didn't accuse Job with no evidence or no proof. Y'all just making that up. Be careful. I was trying to help, but I wind up hurting. Anybody did that? I went to go and help you, but I wind up hurting you. Be careful. So Elihu, verses chapters 34 through 37, he goes through. But now that everybody has spoken, we find one last speaker in Scripture. Now it's something for me to say it. Something for your friends to say it. You might disregard me, and you might disregard your friends, but you better not disregard what God is saying. Listen, if I'm up here and I'm speaking the word of God, I'm speaking, the Bible says, as an oracle of God. God is just speaking his word through me, right? It ain't me. I'm a vessel of clay. I got nothing for you, right? But it's the Holy Ghost. Peter said, you have not lied unto men, but the Holy Ghost. So listen, you might disregard me. I ain't nobody. I'll readily admit that. I'm nobody in and of myself. But when God, you're going to hear the voice of God one day. Everybody in this room is going to stand before God in judgment. You're going to stand by yourself. There's going to be nobody there but you and God. And there's only two people in this universe that knows everything about you. One is God, and the other is you. And you're going to stand in that day before God. And you're going to have to give an account for everything. The Bible says that we're going to be judged for the things that are done in our bodies. Everything, every thought, every unconfessed sin, all of that is going to be laid bare before God. And whether you're at the judgment seat of Christ, or whether you're at the great white throne of judgment going into the lake of fire, you're going to stand before God in judgment. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. You don't have to believe the Bible if you don't want to. You can deny it all you want to, but facts are facts and truth is truth. So here it is in Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job. We didn't hear from everybody else, but listen, you didn't hear from everybody else. We done ran and got everybody else's opinion, and we done went back and forth about our philosophy and our thoughts. But then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, but I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. You're going to answer. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Who have laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who have stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations fastened, or who have laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? So here is God in his glorious majesty appearing to Job. And Job had all these words to say. And Job wanted to, you know, so many words, he wanted to be able to plead his case before God. God, I'm suffering with something I shouldn't have to go through. Why do the righteous suffer? Why do Why do bad things happen to good people? Job was dangerously close to justifying himself. And we forget that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. We forget that we are nothing, right, but sinners in the sight of God without the salvation and the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to our lives. Without his sacrifice on Calvary, not a one of us would be here on today. So here God in his glorious majesty, he shows up and he begins to question Job. Let's read about Job's response. Flip over to chapter number 40, verses 3 through 5. And God, 38, you go back and read it, 38 and 39, where God is just demanding Job. You answer me, Job. You have so much to say, Job. Be careful, we got so much to say and we got opinions and thoughts about so many things. But when we stand before God, what you going to say then? Job 43 through 5 says, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job found out that he was wrong. I want us all, everybody in this room, to entertain the fact that you could be wrong. And if you're wrong today, I want to be right. If God in his mercy, and God is a merciful God, he could have left Job in his wrong. But God in his mercy, you know, he stood up and he spoke to God. He made an appearance to God. You're not who you think you are, and you're not where you think you're at. Wherefore, he that thinketh he stand, take heed what? Lest he fall. And I don't know about y'all, but listen, I got to make it. There's a city called heaven. I got to make it. So Job had to. When he came face to face with God, and God, how many people have this opportunity standing before God? And God is now letting Job know, Job, you were wrong. But it's one thing for God to say you're wrong, but it's another thing for you to do what? For you to accept that you're wrong and get right. See, do you know that that's what repentance is? Repentance, put simply, is agreement with God. What are you agreeing to? You're agreeing that God, you're right, and I'm wrong. Here's the thing about repentance, right? Because we're apostolic, thank you, Jesus, unapologetically apostolic, right? We're built on the apostles' doctrine. I'm so glad about it. I'm so glad about Acts 2 and 38, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad that we still adhere to the biblical doctrine that was laid down by the apostles. But we hear that scriptures as people that have received the Holy Ghost. And we thought that repentance was a one-time event. And repentance is an ongoing activity. Job in chapter number 1, you're perfect. You're upright, but your test is going to reveal where you are. Anybody went into a test one way, found out something about yourself you didn't know. Said, Lord, I've started my day. I'm ashamed to say something. So I started my day in prayer. I've gone through the day, and like you said, I didn't drink or smoke, and I didn't all the things. I didn't do none of that. I felt good about the day. But somewhere in that day, I found myself in sin. Did I have to sin? No, I did not. Bible says if we sin, right? We have an advocate with the Father. But I sinned. And you know what I had to do with that sin? Repent. And I feel like because I didn't do this or do that, you know, a bad attitude and a wrong spirit, right? Listen, that's just as bad. You know, we want to justify my wrong. We want to just, when the Holy Ghost is letting us know you're not right. You got to turn. You got to change. You got to repent. I didn't say that right. I didn't act right. I didn't do right. I didn't think right. I got to repent. Job got the revelation, this man who God declared, and we can stand in the righteousness of God. I read that this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are made the righteousness of God in him. I can be glad about that righteousness of God in me, but guess what? I got to maintain that, not by works. Works don't save me, but I'm saved to work. They'll manifest. It's just what comes out of me. And if I want to see this thing and I want to go and I want to move forward, then I've got to repent. I was wrong. Yes, sir. Elder Kimball, you often say that it ain't about what other people do to you, it's what you do to them. We always want to focus about what they did wrong. We want to say, but Lord, but they did that. And they, well, what about you? I've learned every time I point my finger at somebody, they got three pointed back at me. I was wrong. I'm man enough to stand up here and say it. I'm man enough to stand up here and admit it. I was wrong. I don't care because they ain't got the Holy Ghost. That don't give me a right to treat people that don't have the Holy Ghost any kind of way. People that are stuck in sin and they are bound by the devil. The Bible says bound by Satan. I don't got a right to treat you, because if it was not for Jesus, I'd be in that same place or worse. How dare I look down my nose on somebody that could have been in my place? They could have been up here preaching, and I could be out there. By grace are ye saved. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You don't merit it. By grace are ye saved. It is the gift of God. How dare you boast about a gift you were given? Don't forget where I came from. I don't forget the trajectory of my life. How dare I act like now I'm so saved, and I walk by people when I used to smoke, and I walk by people who smoke, and I can't stand the smell of smoke. All the things the ungodly people do that I was doing, but now I'm too sanctified as the ditty. Better be careful. I was wrong. I'm not taking away from holiness. I'm not. I believe in holiness. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. But my holiness does not justify my sinfulness, and it does not justify my unrepentant heart. It's not for me to put myself up on a pedestal and big I and little you. No, it's for me to be able to meet people where they are, to be able to help people. We're on this journey, and Lord, you ain't called us home yet, and I want to try to get as many people as we can into the kingdom. The time is winding up, and everybody needs to be saved. And so since I don't know who you're calling, Lord, I'm just going to put it out to everybody. We got to show people the love of God. I read this morning 2 Corinthians 5. That's a good one, y'all. Read 2 Corinthians 5. That's a good one. He said, for the love of God constraineth us. It makes us. I got to, y'all. You know why? Because I've been loved. Folks loved me when I was unlovable. Folks gave me for the unforgivable. And I don't have to be here on today. So now that I am here, right? Now that I realized, but Lord, but I was wrong on how I was doing some things, I got to get right. And so what I love as we begin to draw to a close, Job 42 and 6. We started here, right? We started in chapter number 42, right? We've gone on the journey with Job, who lands us in chapter number 6. And after God confronted Job with his own self, and all God does is put the mirror up. All God does, he puts the mirror up in front of us. You know, that's what God does. The book of James says, listen, don't look in the mirror. See how jacked up you are. I'm paraphrasing. That's right. And then walk away and then forget what you look like. You're looking a hot mess, whatever that means, but you're looking it. But then I forget, and then I want to go and look at you. You a hot mess, too, and act like I'm better than you are. So here he is after God confronts Job with himself. When God confronts you with you, how are you going to respond? You going to be like James and forget about what you look like and go out those doors and keep doing what you've been doing? Keep treating people like you've been treating and justifying yourself all the way? Or am I going to do something different? Am I going to love different? Am I going to treat people different when I realize, wait a minute, I was wrong? Wait a minute, Lord, if you would have came on a certain day, I would have been left. And I ain't talking about 25 years ago. I'm talking about recent history. That, Lord, if you would have came and the church is raptured and I'm like, where everybody at? And I'm still here. No. So how dare I look down on somebody else? But this is where God got Job to, and where God got me to, where God wants us all to get to. Job 42 and 6. Wherefore, I abhor myself. You know what? Abhor, right? It's a good synonym for abhor, right? I hate myself. I disgust. I disgust myself, right? My despicable self. I mean, however, whatever word you want to put, you get the sense of the word, right? Right? I abhor it. I hate it. It's disgusting. When you see you for who you really are, take away the salvation that you were freely given, that was bought by a price on a cross on a hill called Calvary, and remember who you are outside of God. I abhor myself. But it's not just for me to be disgusting to myself and repent. It's not enough, y'all, to feel sorry. You know, we feel like, you know, that I'm sorry about it. As Bishop taught me years ago, yeah, you are sorry. You need to apologize. I got that from Bishop. That's a good one. I use that one. But we're sorry, right? It's not enough. We feel like, okay, but I said I'm sorry. But the damage, you need to go back, and repentance, remember, is an action word. It's not just to say I repent in my heart, but you got to go. And John said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. You got to go out. And there's something, there's activity required. No, repentance demonstrates itself in love. And is that me going back and apologizing and saying I was? Ooh. if I got to go back and say I was? If I got to go back and say I was? Ooh, ain't that hard? Ooh, don't that hurt? Ooh, just coming out. Ooh, yeah, y'all, yeah, we struggling. That's all right, though. And it should be like that. It's hard. It's hard to tell somebody I was wrong. Right? You know, for whatever reason, you know, in life, God does miraculous, amazing things. People will wind up looking up to you for whatever reason. And they will, you know, look up to you, da-da-da-da-da. And feel like you're like on this plateau or whatever, and be like, listen, dude, I was wrong. And to go back and say that, I don't care, you know, in the hierarchy, it doesn't matter. In hierarchy, I'm up here and you're here. Listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I treat my wife bad, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I treat my kids bad, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, right? If I treat you bad, if I'm wrong, I'm. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But listen, we're wrapping it up. Verse number 10, and this is it. And this is the part we love, right? We love, right? That's why you don't want to skip over parts and just land here. You would have missed the journey. 42 and 10 is what we love. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, right? Boom, we stop right there, right? Y'all heard that, right? 42 and 10, let's put that up on the board. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. When we quote that, right, we don't quote it fully. Right, right. We've heard this, right? And God gave Job double for his, right? Does the Bible say that? Doesn't say it like that, right? He gave him twice as much, but the concept is there, the double for the trouble, and then we shout and rejoice and all that kind of good stuff. But before we get to double for your trouble, before we get to that, right, what we got to look at is this. The Lord turned the captivity. Anybody want your captivity? Some of us, you know, we haven't found ourselves moving forward in God the way we know we should, right? Grandson is here, right? 3 months old last week, and they've got this thing where they're doing him every month, and you can see the growth, right? That's right. But something would be wrong at 3 months if he looked the same as he did on the first month, right? There's an expectation of growth, right? And we should be seeing growth. So all of us as God's people, there should be an expectation of growth in all of our lives. And when I'm not seeing growth in my life, you need to ask the question, why?
If Elijah wasn't growing, you know what we would do after we prayed about it, right? We pray about it, right? And then we probably go and seek some help. What's going on? We Google it. We WebMD it. And we do all those kind of things because we will be concerned about the lack of growth. If you're having a lack of growth in your life, be concerned about it, right? Because, listen, remember what Jesus said about the fruit tree, right? Or every fruit that beareth to me beareth fruit, right? And that doesn't bear fruit, he purges it. Well, the ones that are bearing fruit, he purges to bring forth more fruit. The ones not bearing fruit, right, they're broken off and cast into the fire. Yeah. So if I'm not seeing the fruit in my life, I should be concerned. And so go back and ask, but Lord, why? What's going on? What's stunning my growth? So here we have, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Job said a few verses ago, I repent in dust. I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. Right? That he had the words, that's great. I repent. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm wrong. But God did not turn Job's captivity. God will not turn my captivity. God will not turn your captivity, right, until I do what God told me to do. When Job prayed for his friends. Friends had talked about him. Lied on. Talked about. I wish Rashida was in here. So I know that she don't like that song. Talked about, mistreated, buked, scorned. Right? All those type of things. But listen, his friends, right, if you read through it, I mean, they laid it on Job. Just making up stuff. Folk make up stuff. Whatever it is, for Job, it looked like his captivity got turned when he prayed for his friends. Before you jump from captivity, God turning captivity and jumping right over that middle part to God for Job getting twice, remember there's something you got to do. Job prayed. That's an action. They said, listen, and God had told his friends, y'all was wrong. Y'all go take your sacrifice. Go get with Job, and Job will get you right with me. Don't you know we got the ability to help people get right with God? Do you realize that? We have the ability to help people get right with God when I realize and when I confess and admit I was wrong. When not just me saying I'm wrong, when I put it into action. And for Job, it looked like that. He went out and prayed for his friends. What that might look like for you, whatever it is. For I remember Zacchaeus. He said, if I've taken from any man incorrectly, I will give them double. I mean, it looks differently for everybody. But whatever you've done wrong, God will give you the opportunity to go back and make it right. Do whatever it is God told you to do, and you can wind up like Job. Job, twice as much as he had before. You wonder why you only still have a little. Do you wonder why it can never go as far as it should? Because I'm not doing what God told me to do. I want the twice as much without doing what God told me to do. You're not going to get it. I was wrong, y'all. I was wrong. I was wrong. I thought, you know what, where I started at, and remember, you know, when we talk about walking with the Lord, there should be growth. Where Job started at in chapter 1, he was perfect. Eschewed evil, right? All those wonderful things. But then you find out there's some things in me that still got to get right. And it's all about repentance. It's all about me working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Don't let the sun go down on your... We know this one, right? You know, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I can justify it or how I can excuse it or what things I can say. It doesn't matter, y'all. We are here to win souls. Listen, I was wrong. And you know what Job said? He said, I was wrong, but God got him right. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, give him some praise. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you're going to be right, come on, give God some praise. If I'm determined, I'm going to be right with God. Come on, give God a great praise. I'm going to be right. What's that song said? I just want to be right. I'm going to be right. Going to ask the ministers to come. Going to ask the ministers to come. And I'm slowing myself down. I got to calm myself down. Listen, this is the altar call. And this is the time for anybody who has not received the precious gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the time that you can come to the altar. And this is the time that you, in that spirit of repentance, you And that admission that, God, I was wrong, you can get right. And just like with Job, when he knew he was wrong, there was something he had to do, so it is now when you repent of your sins. The Bible lets us know, come on, y'all. The Bible lets us know all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We say it like this, I was born in sin, right? By virtue, we came into this world sinful. We came in sinful. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin, it is death. And there's only one way to not have to pay the price for my sins, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody pretty much knows that Jesus, God, became a man and came into the world to die for our sins on a hill called Calvary. He shed his blood. That was the penalty for our sins. That's what our sins cost. So Jesus died on that cross. And after he had died, they took that corpse and they put it into a tomb. They buried him. But after 3 days, he rose from that grave. There's an empty tomb. He got up from the grave. He told his disciples after his resurrection, go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. And there were sat cloven tongues like as fire on each of them. They spake with tongues. Such a marvelous event that the people that were there for the festival, they said, what's going on? He told him. Peter preached his first sermon, and they asked the question by extension, what shall we do to be saved? Repent. Be sorry for your sins. Admit that you're a sinner. I said it earlier, and it's still true. We're all going to stand before God in judgment. You can fool me. You're not going to fool God. You can hide in this crowd. You cannot hide in the presence of God. And if you're not sure, if my lifestyle doesn't match up with my profession, somebody said I professed him, I've confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart, but my lifestyle, but my words and my works, they don't match up, then come on down. Let's come on. Maybe consider that maybe it's different than what somebody told you. Maybe they gave you a part of it, they didn't give you all of it. Because there's more to salvation than coming to church on Sunday. There's more to salvation than not drinking and not smoking and not cussing. There's more to salvation than what you wear. Salvation is being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Without His Spirit, you are none of His. You don't belong to God without His Spirit. Many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Bible says hell has enlarged itself. People are dying and going to hell every day where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. People are dying and you don't want to be one of the ones. Save yourself. Save yourself. Save yourself from this wicked and untoward generation. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. Don't play with God on today. Don't hear the voice of God and act like you didn't hear him. Don't hear God's voice and act like he wasn't talking to you. Get up from where you're sitting right now. Get up from where you're sitting right now. Come down to the altar. On the altar is where they killed the sacrifice. Present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Come down to the altar. Come down to the altar. Come down to the altar. Avoid hell. Trade hell for heaven. Repent of your sins. God, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong, God. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong, God. I was wrong. But God, only you can make me right. Only the shed blood of Jesus can make me right. Only his precious shed blood can make me right. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is that flow that makes me white as snow, no other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins.
He will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Anybody need prayer on today? Somebody need prayer on today? Come to the altar. Whoever needs prayer, come to the altar. If you need prayer, come on down. People got situations. It's not always because I got something, you know, maybe that message didn't, but I need some prayer for whatever it is in my life. This is the place where I come to get help. If I need prayer, if I got questions that are unanswered, if I don't know the way I should take, if I've been struggling, God, if I've got questions like Job had, unanswered questions, if I found myself wondering why are bad things happening to me as a good person? Why? Then come and get help. Come and let us pray for you. We'll pray for your mind. We'll pray that God will give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Come on and get help today. Come on and get your help today. Come on and be delivered today. Come on and be set free today. Oh, I came to the altar last week, preacher. I don't care. Today is the day of salvation. Come and get your breakthrough on today. Come and get your miracle on today. I believe in laying my hands in the name of Jesus. I believe in devils being cast out. I believe in sickness being healed. I believe in bodies being healed. I believe in, hallelujah, Lord God, relationships being restored. Hey, I don't see a way, God. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know which way to go. I feel like Job. I go forward and you're not there. To my left side, I can't feel you. Backwards and I can't find you. Oh, come and get help. God, don't you come to the hospital and not get help. Don't you come to the hospital and not get help. Don't you come to the hospital sick and broken and hurting. And I'm not going to get help because I don't want people to think something bad about me. I don't care what you think, honey. I need help. I need help. I was wrong. I need help. I need help, God. I need help. Maybe I was wrong. No, scratch that. I know I was wrong. God, I need help. Help, Jesus, help. Help, Jesus, help. Help, Jesus, help. If you got the power of prayer, y'all see somebody standing, don't let somebody stand by themselves. You see somebody at the altar, they need help. You pray for that soul. Maybe it's not you today. It might be your turn tomorrow. It might be your turn next week. Pray like it's you. Plead God for somebody like it was you. I need a deliverance. I need a breakthrough. I need more than a shout. I need more than a run. I need more than a dance. I need deliverance. It don't help me if I go out the way I came. I'm about to face my problems. I'm about to face my Euroclodon. My problems are they waiting for me on the other side of the door. But when I go back out and I face my problems, I'm going to face them in the help of God. I'm not playing. This ain't no religious carnival on this morning. This no sideshow. Not doing this to tickle your emotions or make you feel good. This is because we need help. This is the church of the living God. And we get help from God in this place. Come on, be delivered on today. Be delivered on today. Be set free on today. If the Son shall therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. No more bondage, no more pain, no more shackles. I am free. Oh God, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. Hey, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. If I'm not free, I'm fit to get free. I'm fit to get free on today. Not today. I'm not going back out. I'm not going back out. Dinner can wait for a couple minutes. The game can wait for a few seconds. This one can wait, and that can. This is my soul. I need to be helped by God. I need your help, God. I need deliverance, God. I need you to open a door, God. I need you to make a way, God. I need you to heal the hurt, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. His arm is not short that it cannot save. He's the Almighty God. Deliverance. Deliverance. I don't care what you came bound with. Everybody that came in contact with Jesus, they got delivered. Let me but touch the hem of his garment. Come on and touch the hem on today. Come on and touch that hem on today.
I don't care how strong somebody might think that you should be. I don't care how strong somebody might think you should be. I don't care what y'all, I love y'all, but I can't care about what you think about me. This is my soul. 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 I don't care. I'ma get what I need. I'ma get what I need. I'ma get what I need. Oh, tell ya, yeah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Ha, ta, ye, ya, na, ye. Glory to the great name of Jesus. Glory to the great name of Jesus. God, we praise you for your deliverance today. Hotoye, glory to God. Lord, we praise you for deliverance today. Lord, hallelujah, Lord God, loose and set the captive free. Loose, loose, God, loose in the name of Jesus. Loose, hallelujah, Lord God, loose. Loose, hallelujah, Lord God, loose. Hotoye, hallelujah, say you don't have any power here. You don't have any authority here. I bind you in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. The blood of Jesus is the blood bought, blood washed church. Hataye. In the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you. We praise you. We thank you, Jesus. And we call it done in your name. In Jesus' name. Hotoye yada. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hotoye yana ye. Glory. Come on, church, give him praise on today. Hoto ye God. Come on, come on, come on, honor him. Come on, let's honor him. Let's honor him. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for everything. Let's honor him. Hoto. Lord, we honor you, Jesus. We honor you, God. Hataye, glorious in majesty. Fearful in praises. Doing wonders. Oh, yes, Lord. He's a wonder. 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 Oh! I don't get nothing else, nowhere else like I get it here. He's a wonder. He's a wonder in my soul. Glory to the great name of Jesus. We're going to ask you to pass in your fans. Pass in your fans. Ha ta yay. Glory to the great name of Jesus. I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. Come on, somebody bold enough to say that with me. I was wrong. I was wrong. Anybody bold enough to say that? Anybody honest enough to say that? I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong. I repent. Now go work out meat for repentance. Go and show forth fruit, meat for repentance. Prove, Lord, hallelujah, Lord God, by how I live as we move forward from here. Let's all stand. Please come back on tonight. The young people have done work very hard. They've been working. Come on back. Let's support our young people. They could be out there in them streets, but they are in here in this house. Let's come back out and support our young people on tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you.